Morning, everyone. Today's daffing, if I'm a daffing test, we are in Nun class, actually, on the very bottom of the line. I'm a base. Good chance that today to catch up to where we should be. At least let's attempt to make it a goal to get through the first Amud of Nun test. Thank the Lippman Foundation for sponsorship of the daffing. Today's discussion follows up from yesterday, and that is the question of Mishnah Merseh via Psula. When a woman is but one step removed from being married to a woman, that will possible her, that will disqualify her to eating chuma. So, for example, the Mishnah gives a very simple, straightforward example where a woman accepts kedushin, she's a bas kohen, which means that she already was entitled to eat chuma, and she is going to be eating. And she accepts kedushin from. Let's do this again. She's a bas kohen. She was a grusha, but okay. In other words, that doesn't disqualify her ability to eat chuma. And then she accepts kedushin from a kohen. So now, if and when the kohen has bia with her, so she will become a chalala. That is the bias psul. That is a disqualifying bia, and that she will become a chalala. At the point of kedushin, so there's a machlokis tanaim in the Mishnah whether or not at the point of kedushin already she's disqualified for chuma. The shita's Rav Meir in the Mishnah was just left anonymously as a Tanakama. The shita of the Tanakama in the Mishnah is that the moment that she accepts kedushin, she cannot eat chuma. It's what's referred to as mishtameris libiya psula. She's but one step removed from the bias from the biya psula, and therefore she's already disqualified to eat Truma, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah say, no, she's kosher, she's kshera. Now, if and when she does have bia with her husband, she will become a chalala, but that's only if and when. Until that point in time, she can still maintain eating truma. Good. That is, that's the broader discussion that we've been having. We're going to return back to that discussion. Then the Gemara brought down a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel about chuppah. What if you do chuppah without kiddushin? Now, how does that work? First of all, what is chuppah? So that, as we pointed out yesterday, that's unclear. The Torah, neither the Torah nor the Gemara makes it clear how to legally affect the second stage of marriage of nisuin. Kedushin, we know with absolute clarity, Kesef Shtar Bia, that's the first parak of Kedushin. Nisuin, we know there's a second stage of marriage. How exactly do you affect it? So, like we said yesterday, that's not clear. A number of shitas brings her into the house. The veil, the placing the veil on. Sheva brachos. Yichud. Okay. Number of different suggestions amongst the Rishonim exactly how to affect Nisuin. We do every one. At our chasms, we do every one of them. So but meanwhile, what if you do chuppah? What if you do the second stage of marriage, and that's it? Is there any validity to that? So the Gemara brought down yesterday, machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav, yesh chuppah lepsulos. That if you go through just the second stage of marriage without the first stage of marriage, so at that point in time now, that it creates a connection between the two of them. And again, let's translate it back to our discussion. That means then that he's a Kohen and she's a Grusha, and all he does is chuppah with her. And obviously, obviously they didn't have Bia yet, because once they had Bia, so then obviously she becomes disqualified for Truma. But if all they do is chuppah, so Rav's of the opinion that has legal significance, has legal status, and as a result of that, she is going to be disqualified to eat Truma. Shmuel, on the other hand, is of the opinion that no, ain chuppah lepsulos, that chuppah by itself does not create any type of legal status between the two of them. Okay, this is what we got up to yesterday. Amar Rami Bar Chama. We're in the very bottom, second to last line of Nezayin Amid Beis. Amar Rami Bar Chama, yesh chuppah lepsulos, bala machlokes, Rav Meir, Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. So Rami Bar Chama says, I think that this issue of whether or not there is or isn't chuppah, meaning, does chuppah create any type of legal bond between the two of them? So Rami Bar Chama would like to suggest that exactly is a machlokas contained within the Mishnah. And he spells it out. So, Li Rabbi Meir, we're on the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph. Li Rabbi Meir, Dama Kedushin Pasle, Chubanami Psula. I'm sorry, Pasla. According to Rabbi Meir, Kedushin disqualifies her. Well, just like Kedushin disqualifies her, and again, she didn't have a beer yet, So chuppah for sure is going to disqualify her. And the Rabbi Laz and Rabbi Shimon, Darmi Kedushin Lapasla, Chubanami Lapasla. And Rabbi Laz and Rabbi Shimon say that even though she undergoes Kedushin, and even though she's one step closer to a Bia Pstula, she's not yet been disqualified from eating Truma. So too, if all she did is just Chuppah and not Bia, she's not yet going to be disqualified from eating Truma. Umi Mai. The Gemara says, I don't know. I don't know if the machlokis between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not Yesh or Ein Chuppah Lapsulos, is really connected to our Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to make a distinction between our Mishnah's machlokis and this issue of chuppah. Look, kedushin is a kenyan, meaning the kedushin is a method in which he makes her his wife. It's kenyan. So Reb Meir is of the opinion that if he affects kedushin with her, so now it's his wife. So, just one step closer to be a psula. It's more than one step closer to be a psula. It's his wife. And eventually they're going to live together. So, at the point of kinyan / kedushin, already Rav Meir says that she cannot eat truma. She will be disqualified. Ava chuppah, but what is chuppah? Chuppah de lo kana la lo. Chuppah is not a kinyan. It's the second stage of marriage. But without the first stage of marriage, it's not a method of kinyan. It's chuppah. Now, I don't exactly know what I'm saying, meaning I get the basic.
She can't go out with
him. Right, I get. It's something, right? To put it my finger on exactly what it is, I'm not saying I fully understand, but it's something. Chuppah is something, but it's not a kinyan. So maybe Rav Meir would tell you that if chuppah were done and chuppah was the only thing that was done between the kohen and the grusha, she doesn't necessarily at that point in time lose her right and ability to eat truma. Inami, and the Gemara says, and look, we can go the other way as well. On the other hand, I can make another distinction, and that is according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who says that this woman, the Bas Kohen, who undergoes Kedushin with a Kohen, and she's a Grusha, okay, she can still eat Truma, because she's still far away from Bia. Now, far away, I know. Just a moment ago, I just described her being closer to Bia. But I understand. But the Gemara is just simply giving arguments. And here we could argue like this. She's far away from Bia, meaning because she still has to go through Chuppah. Masha Ein Kein, if you go through Chuppah, right, all the, right, the only thing remaining is Bia. So, I'm sorry, Ava Chuppah, the Kriva of Bia, Hachanam et Apostle. Okay. So the Gemara, all the Gemara is just simply doing is providing arguments in which I don't necessarily have to relate the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah to this discussion of whether chuppah does or does not have significance. So the Gemara says, if anything, what we could do is we could correlate the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel to the following. We're going to learn a brisa together. Nisu zu vizu. If she married this and this, what do we mean this and this? Let's read on. Ksheros opsulos. Women who are kosher, women who are psulos, are disqualified. O shenichnasu l'chuppah v'lo niv'alu. Or, if he just takes her under the chuppah, but they don't have bia, ochlos mishalo v'ochlos b'truma. He has to feed her, and she can eat truma. Meaning that whoever the author of this Tanakama is, whoever the Tanakama is of the opinion that chuppah is not... Chuppah creates a status. Now, the Gemara, before we go on in the Braisa, the Gemara is just going to quickly clarify what exactly the Braisa is describing. Nichnasu mechlal denisu. So, I'm sorry, mechlal denisu nisu mamish. So, when we say nichnasu lechuppah, what were we describing before nichnasu lechuppah? Meaning, the Braisa started off with the words nisu zuvazu, he married. What does that mean? So, the Gemara says it can't possibly mean that he actually married. Can't be. If he actually married, so then, right, then there's Bia. And if we're describing having Bia with a woman who's puzzled to him, she obviously at that point is going to be disqualified to eat Truma. There's no way the Braisa could be describing her eating Truma. So Nisu can't mean literally they got married, meaning they had Bia. So the Gemara says that the clarification of the Braisa must be that chuppah without Bia. Okay? And what happens with chuppah without bia? Chuppah without bia does not create a marriage between the two of them. Obviously, they're closer to being married, but they're not yet married. And she's still allowed to eat truma. Okay. That's the Tanakama. And now Rabbi Shimon ben Elsha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. And, yeah.
You're talking about Bas Kohen.
Yeah.
But if it's a Bas Yisrael, she can't. Even the Chuppah alone, she can't.
Right. Another, right. Correct. Correct. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Elsha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Kol shebiyasa ma'achilasa, chupasa ma'achilasa, v'chol she'in biyasa ma'achilasa, ein chupasa ma'achilasa. If the bia can enable her to eat, the chuppah can enable her. And if the bia cannot enable her to eat, the chuppah cannot enable her to eat. In other words, this position of Yishmael ben Osher, Rav Yochanan ben Broka, is that chuppah does create a legal status between the two of them, and presumably what Rabbi Yishmael, Shmuel, son of Rav Yochanan ben Broka, is saying is that chuppah creates a status. And if chuppah creates a status, that means now that if she were a Bas Kohen and her husband did chuppah with her, she will at that point in time become disqualified to eat truma, despite the fact that that they didn't actually have bia as of yet. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether chuppah is legally significant, creating a status between the two of them, disallowing the woman to eat truma, may in fact be this machlokes between the Tanaim, as we just explained. Mimai. The Gemara says, once again, not necessarily. Dilma Rav Shimon ben Osher, Rav Yochanan ben Broka, Rav Meir Svirle, Dami Kiddusha Lo Achla, Hai Kol She'ein Biyasa Mach, I'm sorry, Kiddusha Lo Achla. So can't you simply say that the position of Yishmael is following the position of Meir? What did Rav Meir teach us about all the way back in the Mishnah? That already at the point of Kiddushin, she's not allowed to eat Shuma. Kiddushin disqualifies. So if Kiddushin disqualifies, maybe that's the simple reason why behind the position of Rav Yochanan ben Broka, Chuppah also will disqualify. Hai kol she'ein biyasa ma'achilasa ein chapasa ma'achilasa, kol she'ein biyasa ma'achilasa ein kaspa ma'achilasa. Just give me a moment. So the Gemara is saying, well, if you're right, if Rabbi Yishmael is really following the opinion of Rabbi Meir, so what's critical? Critical is not Chuppah. Critical is Kiddushin. So the words that should be used are not Bia Machilasa, Chuppa Machilasa. The words that should be used by Rabbi Shmuel, if he's following like Rabbi Meir, is Kesef, meaning Kiddushin, Kinyan. So the Gemara says, Mi Bailei Dilma, Aidi Damar, Tanakama Chuppa, Amar Iu Nami Chuppa. So the Gemara says, you may be right. Meaning, let's stick with our pshat within Rabbi Shmuel, that really he's going in line with Rabbi Meir. You're right. The words that he should be using is not chuppah, rather kesef, because really it's the kinyan that's posel, not the chuppah that's posel. The fact that he uses the language of chuppah, symmetry, meaning he's combating the Tanakama. The Tanakama is making everything contingent on the chuppah. So he's just contrasting using the word chuppah, but truth be told, already at the point of Kiddushin, she effectively becomes disqualified from eating truma, because he, Rabbi Shmuel, is in line, is in tow, together with Rabbi Meir of the Mishnah.
Once somebody's disqualified through Kiddushin, according to Rabbi Meir,
right,
he can't be disqualified again. What's the point?
That's exactly what bothers the Gemara about the language of the Braisa, to which the Gemara clarifies, you're right, meaning point taken, and the word chuppah is just there for symmetry purposes, but he really means Kiddushin. Okay. Amar of Amran. Okay, just yesterday we used this expression, the Gemara is going to use the same expression again. Hi, Hamil, Amar Lan Rosheshes. So Rosheshes taught us something, V'an harinu le'enein me'misnitzen, and enlightened our eyes through a Mishnah. Okay, I think I mentioned it yesterday. It's a little bit strange that they use this expression regarding Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, one of the number of Amarim who are blind. But okay, but he enlightened us. Meaning, despite the fact that he can't see, still he enlightened us. Yesh chopa lepsulas v'tana tuna. So again, so Rosh Hashanah is working with this position that chopa does create a status between a man and a woman. Meaning, chopa is a connector, giving her the status of being a married woman, despite the fact that they didn't have bia yet. And how do I know that? I have a Mishnah to prove it so. Okay. We're about to learn a Mishnah and Sota together. It's actually not a Mishnah. Yeah, it is. It's So it's also in Kiddushin. Okay, we're going to learn the Mishnah and Sota together. Okay, let's remind each other. Okay, how does a woman become a Sota? First of all, like we always say, there are two forms of Sota. So for the first form of Sota is where the woman has an adulterous affair, and it's not because we're guessing, it's because we know. Well, isn't it a capital crime? Yes, it is. Why isn't she put to death? Could be a host of so many reasons why she's not put to death. In other words, you need due process, and there just simply may not be due process. So one term of sota that we use is for a woman who actually committed adultery, and it's not guesswork. It's because we know. And then there's another sota, which I would say is a more popular sota, meaning it's the way that generally people think of sota, in which we don't know. And even in the fact that we don't know, but there's enough circumstantial evidence where certainly we're not going to put her to death. In other words, we don't know for sure. We don't have two witnesses who are actually testifying. But there's enough circumstantial evidence where she is prohibited to her husband, where a suffix creates iser. That's the sota that we generally know. And how do you resolve that? Meaning, how can a suffix create iser? The answer is that's the chiddush of sota. That's exactly the point. Meaning that most cases, suffix doesn't immediately create iser. Suffix is just a suffix. Now, sometimes we treat suffix like iser, but we don't say she has the status of iser by sota. We do. What's the process? We know what the process is. A man's married to a woman, and she is spending a lot of time with another man. And he warns her, don't spend time with that man. And that warning has to be an official warning done in front of witnesses. See the first mission of sota for that discussion. And then, after the warning, she secludes herself with a man, but no one sees anything beyond the seclusion. At that point in time now, she has the status of being a sota. Even though we do not know what happened in that room, she now has the status of being a sota. At that point in time, he, the man, is prohibited to her. And it's not it is a suffix, but she has a status of sota, he's prohibited to her. And now, right, the rest of the story, everybody knows. Right? Then then he brings her to the base of Mikdash, and then there's water, and Shem Hashem is dissolved into the water, and she drinks the water, and everyone knows the rest of the story. We're going to be focusing on one aspect of the story, which the Mishnah is describing, and that is that right before she drinks the water, make it very clear what's going to happen. If you did this, then this is going to happen. If you didn't do this, then this is going to happen. And her response is, Amen v'amen. She says, I agree. And the Mishnah is describing why she says Amen multiple times. She says Amen twice. And what is she saying Amen twice for? So Tana Tuna, so here we go now. This is the Mishnah that Rosh Hashanah is going to use. This Mishnah for us, meaning on Yevamos Daf and Chesam Aleph, is a platform, it's a springboard to teach us that Yesh Chuppah L'Psulos, that Chuppah creates a status. I know it's a funny place to start from to get to, but you'll see, we're going to connect the dots. How this Mishnah Sota is going to teach us something about Chuppah. Amen Shalos Satisi Arusa Unisua Shomeris Yavam Uknusa. She's saying Amen to a whole series of things. I wasn't Soteh. I didn't deviate while being an Arusa, while being a Nesua, while being a Shomeris Yavam, and while being married, and while being a Kenusa.
That's more than two.
Yeah, right. Agreed. That's a lot more. Now, Hayarusa Echidami. Now, does everyone know the punchline?
It's more than three, that something doesn't apply, like a Yavam. Maybe she's not. She's not saying it.
Okay, so I was going to say, does everyone know the punchline? At this point in time, I'm not going to spoil the Gemara. I mean, but let's just go over the punchline right now, and then we'll ignore it, and we'll just go forward. What is this describing four different scenarios? So the punchline of the Gemara is going to be no. Right. Right, or what we call in halacha Gilgal Shvua, meaning that she's brought right. She's brought to Beis Din. We have the ability to make her make a Shvua, to swear that nothing happened while she's secluded herself in that room. And while we're on the subject, so now also make a Shvua about Erisin. And if you happen to have been a Shomeris Yavam, make a Shvua about that as well. And in other words, and we'll just, as long as we're making one Shvua, so we'll just simply roll upon you a series of other shvuas that are not necessarily related to this particular scenario. Okay, fine. So really, truth be told, is that This is all a function of Gilgal Shvua. That's the punchline. Now ignore what I just said. And now what the Gemara is going to think for the next Amud, from here until the Amud Beis, is that what we're describing over here in this Mishnah Sota is four different scenarios where a woman could potentially become a Sota, and we're going to make her make a Shvua in any one of these four scenarios. Hairusa Echidami. So now, well, what's the case of Arusa? Meaning the Gemara says, can we possibly envision what happened? So Elam Dekanala Kishi Arusa Vekamashkala Kishi Arusa. So the Gemara suggests, okay, very simple. A man was Makadosh, a wife. They didn't have relations yet. They didn't go through the second stage of marriage. Just been Arusin. And she's spending time with another man. And he warns her against another man. She secludes herself with another man. All during Arusin. Gemara says, that can't be. Arusa Bas Mishtah Yehi Vatanan. Mishnah Sota. Arusa Vashemar Yavan Lo Shos Sosvalo No Lus Ksuvo. A woman who is an Arusa, who was warned by her husband, secluded herself with a man. So she doesn't drink the Mesota. Why not? Because she doesn't. Meaning, an Arusa doesn't drink. And because she can't drink, she's also no longer entitled to Ksuva. Meaning, as Rashi over here explains, Rashi says it very succinctly, but Rashi explains over here, why doesn't she get a Ksuva? Because she really misbehaved. Meaning that under normal circumstance, I mean normal, in a normal Sota scenario, what would happen is she'd go to the Beis HaMikdash, she'd drink the Mesota, the Mesota would clarify whether she did or did not commit adultery, and then, okay, if she did, there's nothing more to talk about. If she didn't, so then she, good, right? Marriage continues. Hopefully, you know, happily ever after. But right, but here, in the case of Kiddushin, so she's not going to drink the Mesota because she doesn't, because the halach is that an Arusa doesn't drink the Mesota. The Pasuk says, Tachasi Sheikh. So she's not going to drink the Mesota. On the other hand, because she can't drink the Mesota, she's not going to be entitled to Ksuva. Fine. Ella, so again, so what's the Mishnah talking about when it says Arusas? So the Gemara says, okay, here's the story. He warned her during Erusin, and then they went through the second stage of marriage. And at the after Nisuin, she went ahead and she secluded herself with a man that he was warned. So Mibat Kalamaya Vatanya Vinika Ishma Avon Bismash Ishmanu Kame Avon Amayim Bot Kinas Ishto. Aina Ishmanu Kame Avon and Mayim Bot Kimas Ishto. So the Gemara says that can be. Because the water works but only under the following qualifications. The water only will test her properly if after the warning and after the seclusion her husband did not engage in relations with her. If her husband chooses to engage in relations with her, which he's not allowed to, meaning again, like I explained in the beginning, she has the status of being usher. But if he engages in relations with her after the warning, so then the water no longer will serve as a tester. So the Gemara says, so that can't be the scenario. So the Gemara says, it must therefore be the following. Where? Warned her while she was in Arusa, and she secluded herself with a man during Erusin, and then Chuppah. That's exactly the point the Gemara wanted to get to. Okay, so now no bia, because if he does bia with her, so that's it. The water no longer, the water loses its ability to test whether or not she did or did not commit adultery, and so therefore, everything occurred during Erusin, the warning and the seclusion, and then they went through chuppah, and now we can afford her to drink. And if everything we just said is right, and I know that's a lot of speculation, but if everything we just said is right, so what have we just shown? That the chuppah does create a status of marriage. So Amarava, so then the Gemara says, not so fast. The Tizbra, the Gemara says, you're assuming that the Braisa is a valid Braisa. He brought the following brisa with him, and the brisa reads as follows: Me baldei sheikh, mishakad mashchivas baal abal, v'lo shakad mashchivas baal abal. In order to go properly through the process of sota, the only way it's going to work is only if the relations with her and her husband preceded the relations between her and the Boel. However, in a scenario where she first had relations with the Baal, then it followed them by the Baal, so then the Mesota doesn't work. Now, if that's true, so then what's our case over here? Our case is that during Erisin, she was warned and secluded with a man, meaning not her husband, the Baal. And then afterwards, they have undergone chuppah. Okay, but that means then that the husband has not yet had relations with her. And we just learned in a braisa that part of the prerequisites of sota is that first the husband has to have relations with her, and then the Baal has to allegedly have relations with her. Then and only then the mesota is going to work. So the Gemara says, well, we could construct a scenario, meaning let's keep everything as we just stated, and in order to satisfy the requirement of the husband first having relations with her, so why not just add one other variable, and that is that during the Kiddushin, the husband did have relations with her, Beveis Chamiha. You remember in Yehuda, yes, you do remember. Right, you remember in Yehuda, so that was practiced. It was minhag in Yehuda that was done. So the Gemara says, so maybe that would be the scenario. So we have just arrived at an extremely complex scenario to explain a Mishnah in order to prove the point of Yesh Chuppah L'Psulos. So let's just quickly, I'm going to quickly illustrate the scenario one more time, and then we're going to go on the Gemara. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that a man's Mekadosh a woman, affects Kedushin with her, and then has relations with her during Kedushin. That relations did not actually begin the... It wasn't for the purpose of Nisuin. Right? And, Rashi over here, the last Rashi in the Amud, simply says, L'shem is nos beveis chamiya. Okay, his Tivus Yetzirah got the best of him. And then... afterwards, she's spending time with another man. He warns her not to spend time with the other man, still during Kedushin. She secludes herself with the other man. Now, if we just stayed at the point of Erisin, she's not going to drink the Mesota. Now what happens is that they go through the Chuppah, they go through the wedding anyway. I know, I'm really drawing out a soap opera over here. And she goes to the wedding anyway, and she undergoes Chuppah. Now, it cannot be that Bia has been performed between she and her husband, because if so, the Mesota no longer is going to test her. So it's just Chuppah. And then the Mishnah says that she, at that point in time, is going to drink the Mesota. So we now have successfully... we have agreed to all terms of the Mesota, including that his bia precedes the Baal's bia, including the fact that he did not have bia with her after she allegedly had the adulterous affair with this other man, and she's married because Chuppah gives her the status of marriage. So if everything we're saying is correct and accurate, so now we have a scenario in which she can drink the Mesota, and we've proven the point that Yesh Chuppah. That chuppah gives her a status.
Unless you see that Abiyah really just, since not the same issues, wouldn't be affected.
That's a wonderful argument. I hear that argument. So I'm a rabbi bar chama mishkach lo kigon shabal la rusa beveis aviyah dekav tzegav shemers yavam shabal la yavam beveis chamiya. So the Gemara says, well, you remember, whatever you do now to the brisa, whatever variable you add to the brisa, you have to be consistent. And one of the cases in the Braisa was Shemeres Yavam. So in the case of Shemeres Yavam, so what are we suggesting? Not suggesting. So to be consistent, what are we saying? That he had relations with his Shemeres Yavam, with his Yavama. So then the Gemara says, good, very good, very good. Okay, today I'm doing a good job, if you figured it out already. So Shemeres Yavam, Karis Le Ishto Maliyahi. So the Gemara says, Shemeres Yavam, Bia, that's all you need. That creates marriage. Da Amarav, Kana Lakol. So the Gemara says, don't you remember? One of the first discussions we had in the sixth parak is that when you have bia, even if it was no das and no intent, and it doesn't matter. In other words, it's a kinyan. Creates a kinyan. So the Gemara says, kishmol damar la kana ela, I'm sorry, lo kana ela dvar ma'amor b'parsha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe he had bia, maybe it was without any intent, and maybe we're subscribing to the viewpoint of Shmuel, which Shmuel says that it's a limited kinyan. Right? Remember, that was Shmuel's position just a couple of days ago in the Daf. So the Mida Hava Taima Ela L'Rav, Hamarav Kana L'Kol, so the Gemara says, wait a second. I understand that's a wrinkle to the whole discussion, but don't add that wrinkle to the whole discussion. Because we're right now seeking to understand the opinion of Rav. Or Rav is the one arguing that Chuppah does give a status. So don't right now switch over to Shmuel's position Well, by Yibum, you know, a beer without das is not, that doesn't create a full kinyan. We're right now learning the position of Rav, and according to Rav, Rav says that beer for by Yibum is a kinyan lakol, even if it doesn't have no intent. So the Gemara says, "I'm a Rav Kana lakol hach by my skin can go and daven by Maimer ube shamahi damri Maimer kone kinyan gamur." So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe over here we could still stick with our guns. We could say everything we said, and maybe over here, what did the man do in the case of Shemeres Yavam? He did Maimer." And let's subscribe to the viewpoint of Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai says that Maimer is a Kenyan Gamor. Now here's where it gets interesting. I mean, I'll explain. Right, we're going to get to that in just a moment. Already it's interesting because the Gemara, in order to salvage this pshat, in order to make the point, is now reverting to the position of Beit Shammai, which in of itself is interesting. But the Gemara now is suggesting the following, and this is the way Rashi presents it, and presenting it just like Rashi. And by Shomeres Yavam, so if we subscribe to the viewpoint of Beit Shammai and he does Maimer to her, you know what Maimer does? It converts Yibum into Ishus. And now the way they are treated to one another is no longer Yavam Yavama Yavama, it's now husband and wife.
But it's like a it's not really like in this way.
Right. And at that point in time now, right, and at that point in time, if he does bia with her, l'shelo l'shem ishus, after that, so what? Because Mimer reprogrammed this relationship, according to Beit Shammai, where now Mimer creates a kinyan gamor, so it's possible now, right, it's possible now that he can have relations with her, l'shelo l'shem ishus, l'shem znos, And the war, and now they're still not yet married, even though had Mimer not been done, the bia would have created a full marriage. Okay, so the Gemara is I know to get to this point in the Gemara, it's unbelievably complicated. But the Gemara again is trying to salvage this idea that chuppah is koner, and the Gemara says ihachi. We're back in the Gemara. Hainu arusa. So the Gemara says, well, you know what you did?
Right.
All you did is you just got us back to Erusin.
Right.
Right. Which the Bryce already described. So why would you do that? Meaning, why would you introduce Shomeres Yavam and now, in a Gemara methodology, which is really complicated, relying on the Shita of Beit Shammai that describes Maimer as being a king in Gamor, and all it does is brings us full circle to Erusin, which the Bryce already described. So what have we gained? Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is that we really gained a lot, because now we're learning that according to Beit Shammai, Mimer treated like Harrison. So there is a chiddush therein, but the Gemara says, but still, So the Gemara says, look, if that really bothers you, look, the Braisa was clearly speaking in a symmetrical tone. Because the Braisa talks about Kenusa and Nesua, right? Look back. In other words, where all this started. Amen shelo satisi arusa unesua, shomeres yavam ukenusa. So, yeah. In other words, Nesua and Kenusa are the same thing. So if you were fine with Nesua and Kenusa being the same thing, so okay, arusa and shomeres yavam are parallel one another as well. So the Gemara says that really doesn't bother so much. Rav Nachman by Yitzhak Amar, Ayyadei Gilgal. And now we get to the punchline, which is, okay, what we have done now for the last Amud of Gemara is explain how what the Braisa is dealing with, the scenario in which a woman can undergo both the warning and the seclusion during Erusin and still drink the Mesota. Fine. And all this to try to help the cause of Rav, who says that Chuppah provides a status between a man and a woman, Chuppah even without a Bia. But to which the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, you know that Mishnah Sota, that's not talking about four distinct cases. The Mishnah Sota is talking about one scenario in which, after marriage, after I had relations with her, she was spending time with another man, warned out to be with that man, and secluded with that man. And yet, the Mishnah is describing how, once he gets her to make a shvua, you didn't have relations with that man, then you can also have her make a shvur on the Erisin. If she was a Shemeres Yavam on the period of Shemeres Yavam, in other words, Gilgal Shvua. To which the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Ha'idei Gilgal. Okay. Mind you, by the way, another layer to the Gemara, which I'm just going to mention quickly, but what I offer to you is but one pshat in the Gemara according to Rashi. If you would like to take the time, Rashi Lishna Achrina, truth of the matter is I gave you the first pshat in Rashi, and Rashi actually prefers the second pshat, so, and usually I give you Rashi's second shot, but if you take a look at Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now, in the interest of time. But Rashi has another shot of the previous Gemara and the answer of Papa, and see Rashi for another explanation of what just happened in the Gemara. Okay,
so
we.
Are you the Gilgal? But you must have one legitimate.
Yeah, correct, correct. In other words, there has to be. You have to start with the Shavuot Daraisa.
Right, then you can extend it.
Correct, correct. All right, Nun Chesam and Beis, right in the middle. Shalach Rav Chinen and Mishmei Rav Yochanan Osa Maimer Bivim Tov Yesh Lo Ach. Afilu Hu Kohen Vihi Kohen Is Pasam in the Truma. Okay, following discussion. Let's say a woman was married to a Kohen. Her husband died, childless, now Yibum. And let's say there are multiple brothers. One of the brother does Maimer to her. Okay. Which means that this one brother who did Maimer is obviously identifying himself as the one who's going to do the mitzvah of Yibum. So far, so good. The following question was asked or posed to Rabbi Yochanan. Or not question, but statement. After Maimer is done, but obviously before Yibum, she can't eat Truma. Okay. Now, mind you.
She's a bad coin or she's a bad coin?
Huh? Let's assume that she's a bas coin. Let's make this parallel to our Mishnah. Okay, she cannot eat truma. Why or why not? Because what the Gemara is about to argue is that she is mishtameres labia psula, because she's awaiting a bia psula. Now think about this for a moment. That's hard to understand. What's going on? Meaning she's a widow. She has brothers who are ready to do the mitzvah of Yibum. One is more than ready. He actually does maimer, which identifies himself as being the one who's going to do Yibum. So, right, Phil. Right, Phil asked the question. Well, so what's the problem? What's wrong? Why are we calling her a mishameres labia psula? Okay, but right, but let's assume agreed. And I know the Gemara we're just on the heels of the Gemara saying, and we go like Beis Shammai as it relates to Maimer. But let's assume for now we're not having discussion with him, Rabbi Yochanan. Let's assume we're not going like Beis Shammai. Now, before I go on to the Gemara, what the Gemara is assuming, let me first explain the Gemara and then we'll read inside, is that the Bia Psula that we're describing over here is, if any of the other brothers has relations with her, so they are offending the Mimer. Now, when I say offending the Mimer, what do I mean by that? Meaning that by one of the brothers designating himself as the brother who's going to do Yibum, so any of the other brothers who has beer with her is going to be disqualifying her, albeit on a Darabanan level. Okay. And this is why we're describing her as being Mishtameres Labia Psula. Now, this is not the same as our Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to make that point right now. So the Gemara says, Yeah, in the Mishnah, Rav Meir has this idea of Mishtameres Labia Psula. But the Mishnah's case is Kohen and Grusha, where she's prohibited to him on a Daraisa level. So once he's Mekadesh her, okay, the next step is that they're going to have relations, and that relations disqualifies her on a Daraisa level. But the Rabbanim Yamar, but over here, there's no Bia Psula Daraisa. And ve'elal Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Hashem, Mishtameres Labia Psula Daraisa Achla, the Rabbanim Ibaye. And according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, certainly there can't be a problem, because even if the Bia Psula upcoming is a Daraisa, and still she can eat Truma, so over here, at worst, it would be a Bia Psula Darabanan. Elaki Asa Rabbi Namar Asa Bamaim Rabbi Avimto Devar Akol Achla. So the Gemara says, point is very well taken. She is the Shemeres Yavam, and one of the brothers does maimer to her, she's certainly allowed to eat truma. Yeshlo ach chalal devrakol eina ocheles. And if one of the brothers is a chalal, so then she does not eat truma. Lo nechleku elishanasan la get. The case where it is debatable is where one of the brothers gave her a get. As we've discussed now time and again, it was a big discussion, the fifth parak of the Masechta, when one of the brothers gives her a get, even though a get is not the language of Yibum, the language of Yibum is Chalitza, but still get starts the severance process, and now one of the brothers has to do Chalitza. And would Bia work after get? No. Bia does not work. On a Daraisa level, it would, but Midarabanan, she becomes disqualified once it gets given. Rav Yochanan Amar Ochalas Reish Lakish Amar Ochalas. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish now are debating. Rav Yochanan Amar Ochalas Afilu Rav Meir Dami Ochalas Ani Milam Shemes Labi Apsul Daraisa. Aval the Rabbanan Achla. Rav Yochanan's position is: look, even if you take Rav Meir's position of Mishtamers Labi Apsula, there has to be a Bia Apsul Daraisa. Here, post get the Bia, if any one of the brothers does Bia with her, that's only Midir Rabban. It's only Asa Midir Rabbanan. And as far as Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar are concerned, yeah, in the Mishnah, they're okay with her eating truma. Do you know why? Because the man that was Mekadesh her has the ability to enable others to eat truma. Here, however, in this scenario, right, he's right. Well, no, the halal is where they agree. Here, one of the brothers offered a get. Now the Gemara says, now get would give her the ability to eat truma in a scenario where she was married, she's a bas kohen, she was married to Yisrael, he no children, he gives her a get, right? She goes back to her father. So the Gemara says, Choser is paska mine, ukrova lebe nasha, avaha agidu be. No, the get doesn't enable her to eat truma. The get creates a severance between she and his wife and allows her to return back to her family to eat, continue eating truma. We're describing how get, in the context of Yibum, creates more of a connection between the two. So it's not the same. And so therefore, the get in the Yibum scenario, the get in the Yibum context, is unprecedented. There's no other area in halacha where get creates connection, right? The way I described it back in the fifth parak, connection through disconnection, right? There's no other context where get creates a connection between a man and a woman other than in the Yibum scenario. Okay. And Nizam alone is Garshan. Okay, very good. Finishing a long sugya, it's not terribly long, it's two dafim, but finishing a long sugya of shomer, mishtamers l'biya psula, when a woman is awaiting a biya psula at the point of kedushin, does her right to eat truma terminate at that point in time, or do we wait till the actual biya psula? Again, summarizing, Ramer says she can no longer eat truma, mishtamers l'biya psula is going to disable her from eating truma already at the point of kedushin, and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon say, no, she can still continue eating truma until the actual Bia Psula, and then the subsequent discussion on the Gemara, a lengthy discussion on the Gemara, revolving around Chuppah, is Chuppah also going to be a disqualifier? And then the Gemara got into a lengthy discussion of, does Chuppah create a status of Ishus between a man and a woman? Nisarmel and Nisgarsha, finishing up. Mahu. Gemara asks a question which is not necessarily related to our Mishnah, but the Gemara will use our Mishnah to try to answer this question. A Kohen Gadol is Mekadesh a Ketana. Okay, now, here's a halacha which, again, to us sounds strange, but we live in a different norms, but a Kohen Gadol marries a woman who is a Besula, that's the Mitzvah in the Torah, Yisha Bevsulah Yikach. When a woman becomes a bogeres, a fully mature woman, so there is a little bit of an effacement of her besulim, and there's a discussion, a debate, which we're going to see on Daf Nun Tes, whether or not he can marry a Bogeris. The case over here is where he's Mekadosh her while she was a Ketana, but the Nisuin does not occur until she becomes a Bogeris. Good or no good?
She can't be Koli as a
minor. Her father, right, I'm sorry, you stunned me with that question. Her father accepted Kiddush on her behalf. Okay, good. So the Mahu. Basar Nisuin Azlinan, oh, Basar Erusin Azlinan. Do we go with, when the Torah gives the mitzvah of Yikach, of Kicha, is the Torah describing the Lekuchen of Kiddushin, or is it describing the Lekuchen of Nisuin? Amar Le Tenisua, the Gemara says, our Mishnah, right? Nisamlan Esgarsham, and then Nisuin, Psulas, Menaris, and Kshiras. What does our Mishnah teach us? Our Mishnah taught us that the Grusha was engaged, not engaged, Mekudeshes to the Kohen. Okay, Rav Meir says she can't eat Truma anymore, and Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon says she can. Now, if the marriage terminated before Nisuin, even Rav Meir will tell you she can go back and eat her Truma, assuming she's a Bas Kohen, obviously. So what does that show us? It shows us that Erusin does not create, that the Kicha is not at the point of Erusin. To which the Gemara says, how can you possibly use our Mishnah to answer our question? The Mishnah is talking about when she becomes a Chalala. We all know she becomes a Chalala at the point of Bia. So if this marriage, if this Grusha's marriage terminated with the Kohen at any point during the Erusin, that means she didn't have Bia with this man, and that means then that she's not been defiled through the Bia. That's fine. What we're describing is when the Pasuk says, Vihi Isha Bifsula Yikach, at what stage does she have to be a Bisula? Kikami Baile, Vihi Isha Bifsula Yikach. My Kicha Dikdusha Beinan, O Kicha Dinisuin Beinan. Amale Anami Tinisua, Ires Salmana Benis, Manelias Kohen Gadol Yichnos. So the Gemara says, I have another Mishnah that will teach us. A Kohen Gadol does Erusin to a widow. Sorry, let me start again. Let me say it correctly. A Kohen Hedyot does Kiddushin with an Amana. Perfectly legitimate. He's totally allowed to. And then he gets an appointment. Okay, Kohanim all gathered together. This Kohen is the most eligible for Kohen Gadol, and they appoint him to do, and they appoint him for Kohen Gadol. And only small problem, and that is, and it's not a small one. Now he's mekudeshes to the, and I'm sure this was part of the discussion, by the way, during the proceedings. But as we'll see in just a moment, the halacha is he can keep his wife, even though she was an almana. So the Gemara says, "Shani asim dechsev yikach isha." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but we have a drasha. We have a drasha that teaches us that in that case, even though his wife is an Amana, and even though had he been the Kohen Gadol, he could not be Mekadisher as an Amana, but because he brought her in previous to his appointment of Kohen Gadol, so therefore he can keep her." So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, and the reason why is because we have a drasha. Rashi says it's an extra word of Isha. So Hachanamik Siv Isha Achas Velo Shtayim. I'm sorry, Hachanamik Siv Isha. So the Gemara says, yeah, if we have an extra drasha, can we use an extra drasha over here? Meaning, can we also include a case in which the Kohen was Mekadish, a girl, while she was a Ketana, even though the marriage is not done until she's a Bogeris? Achas Velo Shtayim. The Gemara says, no. One drasha, not two drashas. Only room enough in the drasha for one questionable wife, not two questionable wives. So the Gemara says, Umar Ra'is. So the Gemara says, look, we have an extra Isha. We're going to include one more questionable wife. Why did you choose the Amana? Why didn't you choose the when he was Mekadosher as a Ketana, and then she develops into a Bogeris? The Gemara's answer, Ha'ishtana Gufa, Bahalo Ishtana Gufa. The difference is as follows. In the case of Amana, she went through no physical change. She had no maturation. As a result of that, she is less of a question than that of a Ketana who then develops into a Bogeres, where she actually undergone a physical change that is more of a Chiddush. So we'll include the Amana as opposed to the Bogeres. Okay, tomorrow. We start with the Mishnah. Tomorrow we will discuss this very question of can a Kohen Gadol marry a Bogeres? And I know I explained briefly why that would be a problem, but tomorrow we'll discuss it in more detail.